This is an ENN special report. Now reporting.
Michael, you into Grandma Pie?
No.
ENN's at 6.
When the clock struck 6, it meant one thing.
It's in Pompano Beach.
Mom!
Tom Thibaut Diaw.
Now, from the ESPN New York News Desk, here's
Rosenbaum or whatever that guy's name is.
No wonder your show is number one.
Ah, and welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to ENN. Today I bring you ENN straight from sitting outside on sort of a balcony thing that's at this beautiful house that we're staying at in Montauk, Don. I feel the air blowing in my face. You know what it feels like, Don?
What's that?
Feels like football. Feels.
Football!
Yes, sir!
Football! They're playing football!
I'd like to start off by saying good evening to Michael, if I can.
Golden Tate, comma warrior.
And then I'd also like to say good evening to Don.
Because I don't know what I'm doing. I told you I'm stupid. I never try to be anything more than a dumb person.
Takes the pressure off.
And guys, let's talk about football, shall we?
Why?
Well, because the season started last night.
Okay.
And on top of that, Michael, it continues this weekend. You have on Sunday a very important Jets-Bills divisional football game.
Sure!
Right. And then also on Monday, it doesn't end there, you have a big Steelers-Giants game as well.
Now,
No, sure. One player that we will not be able to see this weekend will be the Jets rookie wideout Denzel Mims, and I guess not seeing him is nothing shocking for the start of his run here in New York. The second round pick out of Baylor missed almost all of training camp with a hamstring situation, and then on Thursday, Don, he hurt the other hamstring, which almost certainly will cost him the opener on Sunday. According to Coach Gase, quote, "It's not looking good. I feel like S for him." Gase does not think this hamstring injury is as severe as the first one, but he also wouldn't rule out Mims going on the IR. Don, in the words of Joe Girardi, it's not what you want.
No, it's not what you want. You're starting your rookie year. There's already question marks on how many weapons they have. So a lot was kind of counted on him. As much as I've talked up it being an overrated topic, you still don't want to lose a guy you drafted in the second round who was expected to be a contributor. And hamstrings, that's I just love how it's not that bad, but you know, I also think he could be on the IR. I mean, so this is a guy that we may not see again until like late October. Not what you want.
His first full practice was Wednesday. He then hurt the other hamstring on Thursday.
But are these the injuries that you're going to get in these kind of strange practices? A lot of times they're not in shells. They're not working quite as hard. No mini camps. People expect there to be a lot of injuries. And is this the type of injury you're going to see players get? Hamstrings.
I thought about the same thing. Could it be that? Or is this just simply a rough start? I don't know. But
well, definitely a rough start.
It's certainly that one, yes. You know, we mentioned Adam Gase, so let's hear some from Adam Gase, shall we?
Shall we?
He talked about his offensive line meshing on the fly while dealing with a pretty tough Bills defensive front.
That's the tough part of it. I mean, it's going to be, you talk about learning on the run a little bit in this game, you know, the speed, the tempo. I know we've gone through practice. I know our defense does a lot, but it's a little different when we get into a real game. I mean, those juices start amping up, you know, things just really start picking up, and, you know, I'm sure they'll have some things that we haven't seen them do before. I'm sure Sean will have something he usually does. We're going to have to make adjustments during the game. We're going to have to keep working through any kind of mistakes we make. I mean, that's part of the NFL and, you know, in 2020 right now. You know, I mean, we're not going to be the only team going through any kind of adjustment like this.
Now, as I mentioned before, of the five starters on their offensive line, there is only one player that was on the offensive line last year, and that was their left guard, Alex Lewis, who is in his second year as a Jet. So you saw Minnesota do it a couple of years ago, revamp the offensive line, and they were fine, but sometimes it takes a little time to gel, right?
Absolutely.
You're not given a lot of time now with no preseason, and the first time you're going to get the chance to play as a unit is going to be week one.
Now, Don, there's a lot of new faces in the Meadowlands on the Giants side of things. You got Freddie Kihi.
That's right.
Of course. We're all very excited about having Freddie Kihi in town.
JJ.
Sorry?
JJ.
Who's JJ?
Joe Judge.
Oh, yeah, JJ. But also, what about JG?
That's right, JG. He's got a lot of experience as a head coach, and I'm excited about his offense coming here. I am.
Well, let's hear what Jason Garrett, that you talked about that experience. How about his advice for JJ from JG?
Alignment in an organization is critical. Everybody on the same page from ownership all the way through the organization. You know, personnel people, coaching staff, players, staff people, getting everybody on the same page. And that's such a big piece to having success. So we've talked a lot about that. I've learned a lot from Joe about that. And we've tried to craft that to help build our program and our football team. And in terms of advice, I have no advice to give. It's just been fun working for him and trying to understand, you know, how we want to build this team and then doing it together. And I've really enjoyed every minute of it.
I might need a drop that says, in terms of advice, I have no advice to give. That might be a future drop, Don.
All right. So we're in the business of reading into things.
We have to. That's all we can do, Don.
Is he not giving advice because he figures people will say, well, you know, you got fired in Dallas. What advice can you really give him? Is he saying that because, you know what, Joe Judge hasn't asked for any? I think it's
right.
The latter.
Well, and also,
Joe Judge is asking for advice.
That's one of those things. That's one of those questions, I believe, that people like us in the media ask, and we don't have any ulterior motive necessarily. Like, I would ask that question. Hey, you're a head coach. You have any advice for Joe Judge? I wouldn't mean anything by that. But I think they see that as it's an opportunity in the media to divide him and Judge. And so he wants to avoid that. I don't have any advice. Of course he has some advice. He's been through it. He dealt with one of the most high-pressure, difficult situations that exists in football. Maybe the only place that definitively has more pressure than here. He dealt with it. So he probably does have advice for JJ, but that's not how JG gets down.
Now, if there was a situation where, here's where he would have answered the question. If Judge did ask him, the one thing I did say to Joe was prepare for this or that. But I don't think Joe has asked him, and since Joe didn't ask him, and he's not going to say that, he just says like there's no advice to give. Because I'm sure, you know, Joe came from Belichick, probably feels he's prepared and knows the job, and it's kind of like know your role situation, right?
In terms of advice, I have no advice to give.
Thank you. That was very good stuff. That's the kind of thing that you hope you go up to your father one day, maybe on prom night, you know, and you say, Dad, I'm going out with my high school sweetheart tonight. We've been together a long time. I love her, you know, been together 4 years. We're both of legal age. We're responsible. We're not going to be drinking. We're heading off to college next year. And I'm thinking tonight may be the night that something magical happens between us. And, Dad, I just want to ask you, if tonight's the night that I take that step for the first time, do you have any words of encouragement or advice you could give me, Dad?
In terms of advice, I have no advice to give.
Oh. Well, that is disappointing. I suppose I'll just listen to what all the guys yelling at me say.
You know what? I don't know.
Now
okay,
here's the other thing, too. Like, Bill Belichick is the level of, let's say, that your dad is Mr. Cunningham from Happy Days.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's Bill Belichick. And now your stepdad is someone that just got divorced. No kids, because the Cowboys didn't win a championship. Who are you taking the advice from, Mr. Cunningham or the father from, I don't know, I'm trying to think of a bad father.
You know what? I don't know. Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to Amazon.com/ESPN Pods. That's Amazon.com/ESPN Pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Now, last night, a football game was played.
And sure
was.
We
spoke about it earlier. Yeah. And, you know, we already spoke about the disappointment of the noticeable smattering or more of boos from a moment of unity, which was very disappointing to hear from the fans in Kansas City. But one person who was not a disappointment last night was Patrick Mahomes. The quarterback becomes the first player in NFL history to throw three touchdown passes with no interceptions in three consecutive season openers. Yeah, pretty good. 34-20, the Chiefs win. Also, one image that we will all remember is Andy Reid, whose face shield was fogged up, and he just looked absolutely lost. Let's hear from Andy Reid on his face shield experience.
That was brutal. Yeah, I didn't do very good with that thing. But listen, it will be better the next time. So I appreciate you asking that, though. It was a bit of a mess, but we'll get it fixed up.
John Harbaugh of the Ravens saw enough last night. After the Andy Reid situation played out on social media, he has decided that he, quote, dismissed it after last night, he said with a smile after practice. He's been doing an assortment of different things, neck gaiters. But he tried the face shield, too, because he uses glasses. And he has to read play cards during games. So we'll see what they come up with. It's interesting that everyone's going gaiters in the NFL. And I've read multiple articles about the best protection from COVID. Gaiters at the absolute bottom of the list.
Well, come on. This is just an optic, right?
Oh, yeah. He doesn't need the face shield, I presume. They're all together.
They've all been tested. You know, I just think that you would just look bad for a nationally televised game to see, you know, coach without a mask. Because you see the play. Like, you look at a baseball game. I'm watching the Yankee game. The Yankee just ended. The Yankees win 6-0 and win game one of the doubleheader. You know, Boone's always got the mask on, but his players don't. Right? So, it just seems odd.
It's all
to me.
Optics.
I think it's just the optic of do you really want to send the message out that you're not wearing a mask? And a lot of people watched that game last night, and it's become very political. And I would rather err on the side of let's not give the image that masks aren't important. But he probably figured, if I've got the mask, am I going to be able to talk into the mic? Am I going to be understood? But they got to figure out some sort of a way.
Well,
that was not good.
Mask or no mask, Cam Newton will be wearing the offensive captain C for the New England Patriots on Sunday when they take on the Dolphins. Here's Cam being asked, do you feel any pressure ahead of your first start in New England?
I don't know what you want me to say there. I mean, I've been here going on a month and a half, and I'm ready. I don't think it's pressure. No, it's not pressure. Just do your job. I'm planning on doing mine. So I know on opening day, he's not going to really be worried about little old me. And I know on opening day, I just have other things to be focusing on rather than who was here before me. I just know I got to do right by my opportunity that I do get and make the most of it.
Yeah, that's the only attitude you can have.
It's. I'll tell you what an interesting... All the things you want to pay attention to on Sunday, Don. You know, that's a game that for us, with the exception of the implications it has for the Jets in the division, it's not a game that directly is one I need to pay attention to. But come 1 o'clock Sunday, how are you not curious to flip on Miami, New England and see what Cam Newton looks like with Bill Belichick?
And you're going to be curious at 4:25 to flip on Tampa, New Orleans, which will be on in New York because there's no Giants and the Jets are at 1. That's going to be something that you're going to pay attention to.
What an interesting day of football. And by the way, I might as well give you the interesting day in football. I love doing this. And everyone
else. Are we bringing this back?
No, don't humor me, because we know nobody cares.
I do. I thought it was a fabulous segment.
It got shot. You know, it's like everything you or I do, Don. It seems like everything you or I do, unless it wins a Marconi, it just disappears after a few months. And that is, have you noticed that?
I have noticed that.
But I will give you the quick breakdown in case you're wondering about the schedule this weekend. Early slate of games as follows. Philadelphia at Washington football team. Miami, New England. Here's a doozy, Donald. Green Bay, Minnesota.
Yeah, listen.
1 p.m. Why not?
How they play against each other will go a long way to determine who takes that central division.
Well,
right out of the box, somebody's going to be at a disadvantage. Right out of the box.
Well, and listen, and by the way, I'll tell you what. To me, that division gets settled between those two teams. Not the other game that's happening on Sunday. That there are people, a lot of people on board for at least one of these teams, if not both. Chicago and Detroit playing as well at 1 o'clock.
A lot of people high on Detroit.
Listen, I'll believe it when I see it. I'm one of those people who loves to see Detroit good. I would love to see Cleveland good. Any of those cities, these blue-collar cities that have just had terrible teams forever, I would love to see those teams do well. I'll believe it when I see it. One game you're probably not going to stop by would be the Indianapolis Colts against Jacksonville.
No, that's one of those that, yeah. You know what that should be? That's an early Thursday night game.
Oh, my goodness. Now, always weird seeing the Raiders logo with the LV next to it, but that's what we have. The Las Vegas Raiders at the Carolina Panthers is a 1 o'clock also. Full slate at 1. Jets, Bills, 1 o'clock. Cleveland taking the trek to divisional rival Baltimore at 1 o'clock. And we're not done. The 1 o'clock end with Seattle and Atlanta, which I think would be a sneaky, maybe best game of the early set.
I thought about picking that game. Michael did pick it, picked Atlanta. I think I would have went Seattle. He's right about their slow starts. But
I know, but I like Seattle too.
And Seattle's also one of those teams that, you know, when you talk about the West Coast team traveling east and playing at 1 o'clock, I don't think that affects Seattle the way it like would affect Oakland back in the day or a bad football team.
No, this is one of the best teams in football over the last decade with a great head coach. Also, I'm curious to know which Atlanta Falcons team they are. Are they the team in the second half of last season or the first half? Because they were dreadful to start last season.
No.
4 p.m., Don. The Chargers and the Bengals. I'm going to pass on that one.
Yeah, you pass on that.
Kyler Murray and his brand new toy, DeAndre Hopkins.
Oh, that's one toy. That's like getting Atari in 1979.
I know. This is a brand new Sega Genesis in 1992, baby. You're ready. Arizona and San Francisco. RJ, how you feeling?
I'm scared, to be honest.
Yeah, he should be.
That worries me. RJ Bell threw a lot of numbers at me. Don threw more numbers at me.
Yeah, San Francisco struggling against the spread at home over their last 20 games or so, but they will host the Cardinals. Tampa Bay, New Orleans, as we mentioned, that's the 425. That will be your Joe Buck, Troy Aikman situation.
Yeah.
That, of course, on Fox. And then at night, pretty good 8:20 game. Dallas Cowboys at the L.A. new weird logo Rams. I legitimately just thought this was a USFL game. I didn't know what I was looking at. But that's the Cowboys and the Rams. And then, of course, the Monday night doubleheader, Pittsburgh and the G-Men. 7:10 Monday, followed up at 10:20, Tennessee and Denver. And that is your weekend slate of NFL action.
We asked Levy why he's doing the late game and not the early game. You'd figure, even though the Giants aren't great, coming off a 4-12 season, that Giants-Steelers is a lot more attractive than Titans-Broncos, and that you'd put the A-team on the 7 o'clock start rather than the 10:15. And Levy said it's basically just travel. Because I think you know, they don't want to travel as much if they absolutely have to. And I think Greasy's stationed in Denver. Fowler is doing a college game on the East Coast, so it's just easier for them to just go to where it's closer rather than putting the A team on the A game.
Got it. Okay, that makes sense.
Because we were kind of curious about that. And as I mentioned, Saints and Buccaneers are going to be the New York game. Now, I have the NFL Sunday ticket. I brought this up with RJ, and I floored him.
Okay.
How long do you think the LaGreca household has had the NFL Sunday ticket? What year did I start?
I believe it's you've had it since it was available. The second it became available,
I don't know. I don't know if that was the first year.
I'm going to say you've had it all the way back to 1994.
Ooh, no, close. I've had the NHL Center Ice and the NFL Sunday Ticket every year since 1997.
Well, that's pretty good. Wow, that's a run, Don. That is
and
a
I
big
really,
run.
And listen, I'm free now on Sundays because I don't do the Jets. But I actually, it is expensive. And yep. I haven't checked with Nancy because, you know, she controls the finances.
By the way, why have you paid for that all the Jets years?
Because to me, it was always worth for when the Jets were on the bye. Like, I just think it's such a gorgeous product. I still wanted to have it for the rare occasion that I was home.
Okay.
But it's very expensive. And I didn't look and check with Nancy if they discounted it at all this year. They had to discount the baseball. I guess they won't do the football because nothing's being missed. But we did think about it because the red zone has kind of made the NFL Sunday ticket obsolete for people that just wanted to watch every game. Now, if you're a Dolphin fan in New York, you have to have the Sunday ticket.
Well, I have to have it. Be guaranteed to
watch it. You have to have it for the Redskins or for the Washington football.
That's Washington football, Don.
Excuse me. How about Michael going Phoenix the other day with the Cardinals? That was a throwback. I don't know if you noticed that or not. But
you don't get that every day.
But the red zone has kind of made it obsolete for the people wanting to flip around because the red zone, you know, that's one-stop shopping. You know, I flip to different games. They're in commercial. A team's starting at their own 20-yard line.
No, it's true. It's true. Red zone really does the job.
Now, it may not be necessarily exactly in real time, but it's all there for you. And to the point now where I don't know if you watch you watch the red zone, right? You have it on. You have the ticket.
Yeah.
That how laughable the in-game updates now are. Like, there'll be an in-game update, and you're like, ooh, something happened, and they're showing you a touchdown from, like, a half hour ago. I was like, dude, that was
Hold on. They do it both directions, though, Don, because the app also sometimes, if I'm watching Washington-Philadelphia on my iPad, okay, we have the ball at the 20-yard line, I will get an update that says touchdown Philadelphia before it goes in front of me.
Oh, boy.
Which is really annoying. I had to learn to turn off all of the updates because they don't get it right. Like that it's just not connected properly. But it is a hell of a product. We talked about the great sports weekend it is, and it only could have been made better in a couple of ways. One of them would have been a victory by Serena Williams yesterday over Victoria Azarenka. However, Azarenka beat Williams 1-6, 6-3, 6-3. Her first time in a championship final since 2013. Now, this is not a nothing final though for Americans. The very popular Naomi Osaka is also playing in the final against Azarenka.
Okay.
And of course, Osaka is billed from Japan. But she is American as well. And people love Naomi Osaka, of course, ever since her big U.S. Open win a couple of years ago. She's back in the final to take on Azarenka. John Daly, guys, is reportedly battling bladder cancer.
Yeah.
He said he had a procedure to have the cancer removed, but was told there's a good chance it will recur. An 85% chance, he said, during an episode of the Golf Channel's PGA Tour Champions Learning Center. He said, I got to go back and see him in a few months. They'll probably have to cut it out again. You don't know. Maybe there'll be a miracle. So, John Daly, we know he's always had a tough go of it. Mm. His demons have always been a tough thing. And now another obstacle in bladder cancer. So, sorry to hear that. Hopefully he does catch a miracle.
Only 54.
Yeah. It's a lot of living. In 54 years.
That's a hard 54.
Yeah. Hard 54 with some really good times in there.
Well, listen, he enjoyed every second of it, I would think.
Yeah, but then
that kind of living comes at a price, but hopefully he'll be okay.
In awkward news,
okay.
The USTA had a strange situation when they had to ban Billie Jean King from the Billie Jean King National Tennis Center.
Yeah, that's awkward.
She was not given a credential because of the strict COVID-19 guidelines. And the USTA gave a statement saying health and safety protocols required us to reduce our numbers to on site to players only, player entourages, and essential tournament staff. Nothing about the protocols were specific to Billy, but obviously still awkward when you have to turn away the person who the building is named after.
Now maybe this is completely off base, but I did not see this story. I bet you she reacted like a champ.
I would think so.
That's my guess.
You don't think she went on Twitter and started throwing subs?
No, I don't think she pulled a Carlin. You weren't here for this.
No, what happened?
When Andrew gave the Djokovic story about getting tossed from the U.S. Open, Chris had a story with not a lot of detail about the time he was asked to leave the U.S. Open.
Oh, really?
Yeah, over some kind of the price of his food order. So I don't know if we're going to get Carlin on at the end of the show, but you might want to pry a little deeper to get more information. But
I have to know exactly what happened. By the way, they have some great, I just want to say, they have some great, albeit expensive, great food at the Billie Jean King.
Yeah, they don't
it
have
is tremendous.
They don't have Masters pricing at the U.S. Open.
No, but it's really good stuff. Also, lastly, in strange news, Zach Wheeler, who's been off to a great start in Philadelphia, started out 4-0, 2.47 ERA, 36 strikeouts, 9 walks, been really, really good. Injured his throwing hand while putting on his pants. We don't have
Excuse
the
me?
Exact details, but a nail was injured on his pitching hand while he was attempting to put on his pants. And he's missing a start.
God hates me.
No, Joe Girardi said it's very sore. You can't make this up. Wait, close to saying it's not what you want.
I was going to say Joe had to say something else too, because that's definitely not what you want. Now I'm just trying to because we've seen strange injuries. We've seen people go on the disabled list because of a cough or a sneeze. They throw something out. I could see that, especially people of a certain age. I could see, you know, getting out of bed the wrong way. I could see Jeremy Atfeld one time went on the disabled list because he was cutting frozen burgers, trying to separate them with a knife and cut his hand. I could see that. I'm not really sure how you hurt yourself putting your pants on.
Maybe they were just too tight and he was working too hard to get the button closed.
Like a Jordache type of thing? Like you're trying, like Kramer and Seinfeld when he couldn't sit down, like those kind of pants?
It's not what you want to see.
Thank you. That'll do it for ENN on this Football Friday, the first Football Friday of 2020.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.